Father, I just thank you and I praise you for everyone that's here this morning, everyone's listening online. And Father God, I know that the Holy Spirit has already started a perfect work. And I'm asking God that your Holy Spirit complete the work this morning. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus that the enemy can't steal what you've already accomplished here. And Father God, you know the hungry hearts. You know those who have been in prison for all their life, some of them. And you know, Father God, how they're crying out for you to set them free. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, to set them free. And Father God, even those who are serving you, but still they're fighting the demons within. Father God, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit come, your angelic host come, and rip those spirits out this morning and set the captives free. And Father, I truly do thank you for this opportunity to sit at your table and eat your fresh manna from heaven. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen. All right, so God gave me that picture, and then I went to my computer to try to get that together. And this is what God said. God said, this new generation that has come into the ranks will want Jesus and only Jesus. They have had enough of the darkness and its mountain of lies. A brand new breed of believers has already come upon the scene, and they are getting ready to become very boisterous. They are going to let all know whom they believe in. Just as the darkness has been screaming for attention, this new breed will now demand that Jesus get all the attention. They will not be slipping and sliding. They will be as a steady undercurrent that keeps everything moving and in clear sight. No more fatherless children running around and looking for a father. They will know they have a father who loves and cares for them. They are no longer looking for an earthly father to love them. They realize that flesh and blood have rejected them, and they have moved on. God said, I have had these mighty warriors on the backside of the desert, teaching them how the darkness works, how it lurks in the shadows, seeking whom it may devour. In other words, what God's saying here, he's allowed you to go through the hell of hell so you understand what hell is all about. God said, they have been scrutinizing everything the enemy has been doing, and they have been watching the lethargy in the body of Christ as it sits idly by and allows the enemy to destroy their very foundations in Christ. They have said a resounding no to the lethargy. They are tired of being held down just out of reach of victory on all sides. They have risen up with sword and shield in hand, having put on the full armor of God, ready to defeat every foe that dares to come their way. And you can see that in Ephesians 6:10-18. God said, on the other hand, the present body of believers has been sitting idly by judging this generation, never considering how they came upon the scene. In other words, we're sitting here saying, look at them drug addicts, look at those alcoholics, all right? God says someone had to drop the ball, and it was not this coming fourth generation. An entire generation has passed without fathers and mothers to guide this new breed of warriors. Do you see that? The person that dropped the ball was your parents or whoever was bringing you up. This new breed knows what it is like to have to pull themselves up by the scruff of their necks, dust themselves off, and keep moving forward past the darkness living on all sides. They know what it is like to sit in the darkest dregs of degradation and still keep climbing up. They know what it is like to be kicked in the teeth over and over again, saying, you are not worthy. God said, but a fight has come forth out of these neglected ones. The Lion of Judah is roaring for all to hear. You will not only hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, but you will see the trees fall before this mighty nation. Then I said, Father, I need the eyes of my understanding open to see the truth as you see it. Then he said, daughter, the truth is a truth. My word holds the complete truth. In Ephesians 6:10 through 20 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, we're not fighting each other. We are fighting the demonic realm. 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the devil day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This is why we need to know our word. It's in the word you find your freedom. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Paul says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I think I know without a shadow of a doubt what we need to do, older Christians. We need to be praying for these new ones that are coming upon the scene like never before so that they might have power and authority. They might be fearless and go forth and preach the gospel of truth. And Matthew 28:16 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mount where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is what this new generation is going to do. The church neglected this. Verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You guys, your younger generation that's going forth, you have to go forth fearlessly. The devil's already had you in his grave long enough. You know what he can do and you know what he can't do. You know you're still standing on your 2 feet. And you know you still have a voice of authority. Now, don't allow him to take you back into his cave again. All right? God said he's going to use the younger people. No, the older people to help guide the younger people. You younger people have to be walking in the Spirit and know who truly walks in the Spirit, because all older Christians do not walk in the Spirit and they will not guide you in the truth. You have to be really walking in the Spirit in order to make it through these trying days that are ahead of you. But God said that you will do it, that you will be the overcomers. So I don't care what the enemy says to you. You say, no, I heard Sunday morning that I'm the overcomer. And I'm the head and you're the tail. All right? Where am I at? John 13:34-35. Jesus speaking again. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. God is not going to let us escape love. Love has to be our foundation. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's happened to you, you have to stay in your love walk. We have to quit fighting one another. Are you hearing me? And we have to start fighting the enemy. And God said, fight him on God's territory and not on the devil's territory. In other words, fight him from the heavenly realm. Let's go to John 21, 15 through 17. This is about Peter's love for Jesus and the service that Peter would do for Jesus because of that love. And this is also about you. Then we will consider Peter's love for Jesus, the hurt that Peter felt, and the task that Jesus gave him. Shortly after I was born again, God took me to this scripture. And I didn't know my word. I just read it, but didn't understand it. So John 21, 15 says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. First of all, he says, feed my lambs. And lambs are these, like these young girls that have just come in, you know, the younger people. And then as they grow, then they become what? They become sheep, right? And verse 17, Jesus said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This conversation took place at the Lake Galilee after Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter and other disciples were fishing, and Jesus appeared, caused their nets to be filled, and invited them to add some fish to the breakfast he was cooking. Then he asked Peter three times, do you love me? Now let's go through this now, because God took me through this shortly right after he called me. Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus did not doubt Peter's love, and God is not doubting any of your love for him, all right, when he tells you something like this. He knew that Peter loved him as though they were brothers. However, Jesus wanted Peter to affirm his love again. Why? To help Peter feel confident as a true disciple of Christ. Jesus did not ask Peter, will you and your wife become gospel workers? Will you endure persecution and in the end lay down your life for me? That was his plan for Peter, but he only asked, do you love me? That's what really counts, isn't it? If you truly love someone, you will do everything possible that your loved one needs you to do. As Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments in John 14, 15. Love is as important as faith. I know that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will not hunger, and those who believe in me will never thirst. It's in John 6, 35. But faith alone is not enough. Jesus also requires that we totally love him. And this Peter did. You too can affirm your love for Jesus and so be strengthened and encouraged. After all, the feeling is mutual. Jesus totally loves you also. Your parents don't love you like they ought. But Jesus loves you totally and completely. And I'm not putting your parents down. Jesus looks at all, he knows all your flaws. He knows everything about you. He never for one instant says he wished he never knew you. All right, let's talk about a second thing is Peter's hurt. Peter was grieved. We notice that Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, do you love me? Sometimes our feelings have to be hurt so that our conscience can be cleared and our love confirmed. Not many days previous when Jesus was facing death, Jesus and Peter had another conversation, and Jesus told Peter, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. That's in John 13, 36. He's saying, you can't go to heaven right now, Peter, but you will be there eventually. Are you listening? Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. And that's John 13, 37 through 38. How many of us have denied Jesus when we said we love him by our actions? So just as Peter had denied Jesus three times, the risen Jesus now asked Peter to affirm his love three times. This made Peter sorrowful, but it helped him to move on without the burden of guilt and regret. It helped prepare him for the task ahead. You too may love Jesus with all your heart, yet be grieved that in some way you have let him down. You too can square things up with Jesus, receive forgiveness, renew your love, and move forward walking with him. Everyone sitting in the sound of my voice this morning will have this conversation with the Father at some point, if you are called into the ministry. Are you listening? All right, the third thing we're going to talk about is Peter's task, feed my sheep. Jesus states Peter's task in three words. This is what Peter's supposed to do, feed my sheep. Give them the word. Peter would understand that the sheep Jesus referred to were people. Peter was to lead people to the green pasture that gives everlasting life. The world today is full of pastors, shepherds, engaged in all kinds of ministries or services. But with what food are these shepherds serving the Lord's sheep? In some quarters, the pastors and ministers may need to prayerfully focus on those three words, feed my sheep, and examine what food they provide the flock of Christ. Peter offers the three words of his own, speak God's words. Are you listening? You too have sheep and lambs to nurture and feed. For food, you have the words of God that were given to Peter's generation and then have been passed on down to you in Scripture. Jesus says to you, feed my sheep. Give them the truth. Give them the word. And quit giving them false hope. Quit itching their ears, but tell them the truth. This commandment is a reminder to love others with the same love that Jesus has for us. It is a selfless love that puts others first and seeks to serve them. I forgot to write the scripture down, but in there God says, tells Peter that Satan has asked to sift him as wheat. And he says, I am praying for you, Peter, and when you return, feed my sheep. God was telling Peter, you're going to leave me. He did, he denied him. You're going to leave me, but I'm praying for you, Peter, and you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. And whenever you come back, feed my sheep. We have to quit worrying about what's going on, what's happening in our lives. We can't be concerned about what people are saying about us. And when God told me, he said, you know, he gave me that scripture. He said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, daughter, and I have to allow him to sift you. And you know, I've told you about this before. He said, sifting is going to be hard. But he said, I'm with you, and you're going to make it through the siftings. And it isn't just one sifting. It's one sifting after another. You know, Satan will continue to go before the Father asking for you until he is finally convinced that you're not in no way, shape, or form going to leave God, that he cannot steal your faith away from you. Some of you sitting here this morning, you have not gotten to the place where you are so you do not love Jesus to the point that it doesn't matter what anybody does to you, or no matter what God asks you to go through, you're going to go through it. I didn't say you wouldn't cry. I didn't say you wouldn't hurt. But I am saying, go through it. Jesus himself, when he was in this earth, they did everything to him that they're doing to you. And we want to be just like Jesus. We go around telling people, oh, I love Jesus and this and that and the other. But do you really? Are you really walking the walk that you're talking? I don't think so. And this is what grieves our Father. You aren't being the true vessels of honor that God wants you to be. My granddaughter sitting back there this morning with her husband. Her husband wasn't saved when he was met her. She was. But after they've been together for years, and I've told him this, God said he's going to get saved and he's going to save her because she's backslidden. He's going through hell on earth right now because the enemy knows that if he really grasps hold of what God is saying when he says, you'll save your wife, then he's lost her. It costs a lot to serve Jesus. And he never promised this in these wrote. He said, we will suffer for his name's sake. How many are you really willing to suffer for the name of Christ? How much do you really love him? You know, God told me, he said, daughter, he said, I want you to quit your job. And my paycheck will be greater than any paycheck the state will ever pay you. Took me 6 months to answer that request. I quit my job, went right into poverty, living from penny to penny. Still is that way today, but you know what his paycheck is? Souls. Souls is more important to him than money. But he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will keep you in your hours of need. There's a lot of people, just they talk about the rich man in the Bible. He couldn't give up his riches to serve Jesus. I'm not saying God's asking you to give up your riches because God's saying he's going to increase our finances. But what is God asking you to give up? You can't be a witness to the world living like the world. You have to be peculiar. You have to be different. And I'm just hearing God say, we've just come through a floodgate of hell. You know, those of us who have really stuck in there and said, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what. We've just come through the floodgates of hell where the enemy has thrown everything at us that he had. And God told me, he said, everything that's in hell is now going to be thrown at the ones who truly love me. So if you've been going through a hell every day right here on earth, it's because you truly love God and he is truly going to use you. You've truly submitted yourself to him and said to him, yourself, and the devil, I don't care what you throw my way. I'm not leaving my Father. I'm not leaving the one who's brought me this far. Where are you really at in your walk this morning? Where are you really at? To be a true witness of God, you're going to have to show the love of Christ. You know, the Bible says, you know, what is it? I've got to look that scripture up. If a man wants your cloak, give him your hat too, or however that goes. I was complaining last week, and I said, God, I said, I've given all I can give. But he said, you still have more to give. And you know what he does? He reaches down in the inside of himself and he pulls out that extra strength that you need, places it in you, that you can rise up and you can keep on going another day, another hour, whatever it might be. But he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Are you listening? You know, God's been telling me, I'm waiting on you, daughter. So I fasted, I've done everything. And the other day I said, you know what, God, I'm tired of being sick. I'm just not going to be sick anymore. I'm just tired of it. And you know what, my body's starting to change. That God was waiting for me to get tired of being sick. So what is it? What's your problem? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it, you know, cigarettes? What is it? When you're tired of that thing, then God can move in. Are you tired of him messing with your family? Do you know what I'm saying here? I mean, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I am not going to be sick. So what do I do now? I'm not sick. I tell my body, you're not sick. You're going to get up off this bed and you're going to move. But as long as I let my body go into bed, and as long as I kept saying I'm sick, that's what I was. What is it in you that you need to say, I'm done with it? I'm not doing it no more. And then don't do it anymore. Don't give in to the wiles of the evil one. You can, you know, you could serve God sick. You could, but what glory does that give him? You have to understand that you're peculiar. You have to understand that you came from heaven itself. You know, my mother always said to me, she had six children. She said, Barbie, when I carried you, it was so different. You were different. You were different the day you were born. You know what keeps me going? Those words. I'm different. I'm from heaven. And God had brought me forth when he did to do a mighty works for him. Do you think I don't have emotions? Do you think I don't cry when people say lies about me? Yes, I do. Do you think it doesn't bother me when somebody doesn't show me respect when they should, even in my own house? Yes, it hurts. And I keep on going, just because those words that my mother spoke to me, you're different. You're different. You're not the common, ordinary person. You're different. You're God's child. And you came from heaven. It right tells you right in the Word you're in heaven to begin with. So I'm not saying something that's wrong. It's in the Word. But when you were born, the devil got hold of you. But see, my grandmother got a hold of me. And my grandmother took me to church. And she kept me. But who got a hold of you? And then put you through all the hell you went through. It's time to reverse that curse. It's time to say, devil, this is God's vessel. You're not using it no more. I was born for such a time as this. You young kids, I know I keep putting it you young kids because it's true. You are the generation that's going to tear down this darkness that's looming before us older people. You are the ones that's going to bring, you know, God said, you should have the Holy Spirit all over you. God said to me this morning, did I not tell you, daughter, that church would not be as usual? I told you that 40 years ago, and I'm still telling it to you today. And 40 years ago, church started changing. And church is not the same. You wouldn't go into a church and sit and do a praise and worship like this. You wouldn't go into a church and do most of the things that we do. Amen. Because we allow the Holy Spirit to move. You watch and see. God said, you watch and see how dramatically I changed the church as the days move forward. You know, with everything that's going on in the world, somebody's going to have to do something. And why not us? We're that dumb little pastor down there in that dumb little rundown building down there in Wyoming. She doesn't even know what day it is. That's the truth. And, you know, but watch what God's going to bring out of Zion. Amen. Jesus was a carpenter's son. Family didn't even believe he was Jesus. But look how he turned the world around. Do you young kids want to do that? Do you really want to make a difference? Why keep going to the status quo? Let's start changing the world for God today. And, you know, this what God said about the young kids, I think we need to give that to them, copy that out somehow or other, and give that to them so they can read it again and again and again to see what God is going to use you to do. Some of you are bigger on the inside than you think you are. The devil has you believing you're nothing, absolutely nothing, but that's not true. You need to come alive on the inside and bring it out. You need to just start telling the devil, get out of this vessel and you let Jesus come out. Let the Holy Spirit come out. And people aren't going to like you. They're going to think you were nuts before, but now they're going to know that you went totally crazy because you're going to be so wild for Jesus. But I'd rather be wild for Jesus than go to heaven than go to hell. I've been there, and you really don't want to go there. Merlin, you're getting ready for your trip there. So this morning, what God wants to do is he wants you to rise up off your deathbed that the enemy has placed you on. He wants his resurrection power to run through your veins. He wants the fire of authority to be inside and you'll roar and it'll come out and touch the people. He does not want you to be the same as you were when you walked through the doors. He's saying, arise, shine, for your light has come upon you. And the glory truly is in the house. And he wants to drop that glory on you in a way he's never dropped it on you before. You know, God's glory goes from glory to glory to glory to glory. We will never receive all the glory. And you can say, well, that I already did that. No, this is a different glory drop. So the altar's open. If you're tired of allowing the enemy to use you and abuse you, and you want your freedom, the altar's open. And God's going to touch you with his glory in a way he never has before.